Many brick-and-mortar stores are disappearing, but it is not the economy, stupid, as James Carville might say. It is most likely because of that smartphone in your hand. Joining us is Amy Wink, retail reporter for the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
And also with us is John Brown. He's an associate professor of economics from Georgia Southern University. Hi, John.
Good morning.
John, okay, the smartphone replacing retail stores. So the fact that, we have now retailers closing stores at a record pace this year, even if they're not going out of business, many of them are just closing down many of their actual stores. So how can it not be the economy? How can it not be that people just don't have enough disposable income to spend?
Well, I think it is to some degree the economy because, of course, even though we've had an economic expansion going on for almost 8 years now, income growth has been very slow. And I think retail would be healthier if there was better income growth. If we had people's incomes growing 3% a year instead of just about 2%, that would help. But the bigger issue, of course, is that it's straightforward economics, really. The online shopping is a substitute for bricks and mortar shopping, and online shopping has some advantages that have been growing, again, with the smartphone, because you don't have to shower and get dressed and hunt for parking and all of the other stuff you have to do to go to a shopping mall, and people are more confident about it. It's just a less expensive alternative even before you consider prices.
Amy, this seems to be affecting, whatever is going on, it seems to be affecting huge retailers like Sears, as well as H.H. Gregg, for example, something that we used to see all over the place in Georgia and may not anymore, but also smaller ones like Claire's, the jewelry store that's in almost every mall that you find in America. Is there a particular kind of store that is most affected by the online shopping passion?
Yes, and I tend to have a little more optimistic view of retail. Yes, there are mall retailers that are struggling and big box retailers that are struggling, but in my opinion, it represents the way that consumers want to shop today. Consumers want an experience. They want to go out and have a good night. They want to eat some food, go browse some stores. I've seen a lot of new retail development in this real estate cycle, but it looks a lot different. Developers aren't building malls. They're building open-air lifestyle centers. Take a look at what the Atlanta Braves opened at SunTrust Park. Tons of restaurants, breweries.
That's a lifestyle center.
Yes, it's more of an open-air destination, kind of more like a resort. So I really feel like retail is evolving. I don't feel like it's dying per se.
So John, let me take that back to you. Is this a case of like when the horse-drawn carriages manufacturers went out of business, but that was because Henry Ford was starting to corner the market on cars? Is this just a shifting of spending?
I agree that retailing is not going away because, I mean, she identified a very important point, which is for a lot of people, the shopping gene skipped my side of the family, but for a lot of people, shopping is entertainment. And, of course, there are some things, at least so far, you can't experience on the Internet. For instance, my wife is very focused on having soft fabrics in her clothing, and I don't know of any way you can reach out and touch a fabric and see whether or not it's soft on the Internet.
I don't think you can. It's a fair point, John. And let me bring this back to you, Amy. And first, let me play this comment from Jason Mudrick, who's founder and chief investment officer at Mudrick Capital Management. And he's talking about how this shift has really hit clothing stores.
There's about 50 companies that could file for bankruptcy this year. American Apparel is already gone. That's filed twice. It's liquidating. Think about companies like Rue 21, Claire's. These are, reasonable sized companies, but they're not the Neiman Marxists of the world.
So all these years of making clothing shopping, particularly uncomfortable for women, right? That's been an uncomfortable experience for many women. And is that possibly what's now making them shop for clothes in the privacy of their own home?
Apparel is definitely a category of retail that's suffering. It does have the most store closures. I would say, though, that there are retailers that are adapting. Retailers that blend successful online strategy with their brick and mortar stores are surviving.
How do you do that, though? I mean, what do you think of as a successful blending of both your online stores and a brick-and-mortar store?
So let's take an Atlanta company, Carter's. You may know them for their baby clothes. So Carter's used to have giant outlet stores, and now they're focusing on smaller stores and neighborhood centers that blend two brands, their Carter's and their Oshkosh brands. So they'll have more product available for their shopper, but less of them. So say a woman goes into the store, they don't have her exact size. She can order it from the store, get it delivered to her house. So it's all about reaching the customer where they're at. Is it on their device? Do they want to order in the store? It's figuring out it's best tailoring to your customer today.
So, John, let me then take that to you. When we talk about lifestyle centers as opposed to a mall, do you see this as being a trend everywhere? I mean, when we look in Georgia, we're certainly seeing retail stores close down in Atlanta and Savannah. But is this shift also true in rural areas as well?
It may be more true in rural areas because of the fact that you don't have the easy access. Here in Statesboro, there's not a Target. Lots of people love shopping at Target, but Target Online is available here. We have a shopping mall here in Statesboro, which has made a list of the 10 worst malls in Georgia. So I could see them being hurt perhaps even more than the malls in a city like Atlanta, where you do get the experience that we've talked about that is so important.
And before we went on the air, Amy, you were mentioning Pont City Market as a good example of this lifestyle destination?
Well, in my opinion, Pont City Market still is a mall in a sense, but it's a former Sears warehouse that was converted into a mixed-use development. It's got creative office space. It's got a giant food hall with trendy food concepts. It's got a lot of retailers. They're clustered around the courtyard outside. But what I think has made Pont City Market successful is it's connected to the Atlanta Beltline. It's got a built-in demand generator that runs next to it. Thousands of people every weekend are on that trail and just filling into that building. So it really goes back to creating that unique, different shopping experience. But, I mean, in a sense, Pont City Market is still like a mall.
But, John, can that actually replace, can the amount of business that a place like Pont City Market attracts replace what's being lost in these brick-and-mortar stores? One thing that you have pointed out is that in the past 8 months or so, more people have lost jobs in retail than in the entire coal industry, right?
Yeah, that's the statistic I've read. I meant to verify it, and I didn't get around to it, but yes, that's what I have read. Something like 100,000 people have lost retail jobs. And of course, retail as a field is heavily influenced by seasons. I mean, we all remember Black Friday. And it's also more than likely to be part-time work. So there is a lot of flux in the industry. So
go ahead. I was just going to say really quickly, that actually is correct. That statistic is absolutely verified. Go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, I recently looked at the retail job numbers across the state of Georgia. And in March 2017, there were about 495,000 retail jobs across the state. Now, that does include all categories, including like car dealerships. But if you look at that number, it is up about 50,000 jobs from March 2012, 5 years ago. And there are certain sectors of, the broader retail trade that are adding lots of jobs. Food and beverage is one of those. So it's just a matter of, yes, are some parts of retail suffering? Yes, but are some improving? So there are more jobs currently in.
Yeah, exactly. So, John, let me take that to you. As an economics professor sort of looking at broader trends, is what we're seeing sort of a permanent change? Are we seeing the final death of places like a Sears and Robux, unless they can get, I guess, their online business built up? Or the final death of the malls of America that we've seen spread all over the United States? Is this a complete change in our shopping culture?
Well, it will be a big change. Again, there will still be, I think, as I said, there will still be some retail. Sears is an interesting story because at least a part of that is simply bad management. There's a man named Lampert who took over Sears 15 years ago, and he was a hedge fund manager. He did not understand retailing and how to run a retail business. And so that's a part of why Sears, which was a very iconic, you know, shopping mall brand for half a century, really, is in bad shape. But in general, again, the shift towards online, I think, is irreversible. But it won't completely disappear. It's going to be a matter of a smaller share of overall consumer spending, not, I think, a complete disappearance.
That is John Brown. He's an associate professor of economics at Georgia Southern University, and he have Amy Wink, reporter for the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Amy and John, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.